Good evening. Some of you I already greeted, others I didn't, so hello to everyone. Thursday night. That means we come together and we listen to a Dharma talk. That's what we're used to doing. And this afternoon when I was considering, when I was had that in mind, and I thought, okay, what would be a good thing to talk about tonight? Or a good thing, what would be something to talk about tonight? I was involved in many other tasks, and I didn't, I try not to prepare too much. I was also preparing a text for a study group, which I have to send out. Reading the news, and of course in the news, we had the news of Tina Turner dying. If you've read the news at all today or last night, you know that because it's been all over. If you haven't read the news, then you're hearing it now. Tina Turner died yesterday. And what's quite extraordinary is that Tina Turner is kind of like a cat and she's had nine lives. You know, she's had so many different existences. She was born in a tiny, tiny little, not even town really, in rural Tennessee, which is at the time in 1939 was probably very poor and isolated. And she grew up in difficult circumstances. I think her father died when she was very young or disappeared or something. And then her mother too left and she was with her grandmother. I don't know exactly, but in any case, when she was about 16, she became a singer. She met the guy who became her first husband and she became famous. But had a very difficult time with that as well because she was abused by him and she was very young and she had two children. And at one point, her life changed radically. And how did it change? This is a very interesting fact about Tina Turner. Someone in her band was a Buddhist practitioner, a woman in the band, another singer, a backup singer or something. I don't know. And told her about this Buddhist practice she had. And this was in the early 70s in California. And told her about this Buddhist practice she had. And Tina Turner had been raised a Christian Baptist in the South in America, the Christian practices Baptist. And she had, you know, been gone to the church and sung, you know, in the church, the gospel songs and things in a Black Baptist church as a child. And it had always been very important for her. She had said she was always a spiritual person and she always prayed. And this person told her about this Buddhist practice, which was just chanting a mantra, just chanting a phrase. And so she went and she tried it and it changed her life. She's told later in interviews and things that reciting this mantra allowed her to become aware that the situation she was living in with this abusive husband was terrible and unhealthy and not what she wanted. And even though she had nothing apart from that, she left him, which was quite an extraordinary thing, because here she was at the height of her fame, and their band was Ike and Tina Turner. I remember as a child watching it on American television variety shows, you know, Debbie would know, like Ed Sullivan or something like that. She left. And she says she had nothing. She didn't get anything, you know, she only had her name, which was identified her as being this singer, but she didn't get the house or the cars or anything. She left. And she always said that it was from practicing this mantra, from this chant, because it's a Buddhist sect in Japan that focuses only on chanting, on this chant. And it's, you know, they say that by their belief is that by reciting this mantra, they gain like a transcendent perspective of their life, and are able to then bring that experience into the challenges of their daily life. This is a belief, but in fact, we see from Tina Turner that it's actually her experience. Whether you knew anything about this, her Buddhist practice, until the end of her life, she was a practitioner of this type of Buddhism. She had a shrine in her room. You know, you watch like documentaries about her, interviews with her on just, you know, mainstream television or something. And she always talks about it. And if they visit her home, they always come into the shrine room. She shows it to them. She demonstrates the chant, all of this. So this was really a really central part of her life, which many people didn't know about unless they really paid attention to Tina Turner. But when we do know about it, like I'm telling you tonight, it speaks to she said it was like prayer for her. Sometimes she said she called herself a Buddhist Baptist, because she said she always kept the Lord's Prayer and her mantra together. And that she deeply believed, it wasn't even a belief, it was from her own experience, that prayer could change her life. I wanted to hear her chanting it, because I knew she did this, but I had never heard it really. So I looked it up and I heard her chanting it. And, you know, it's not unlike this past weekend in our retreat. We did a ceremony, which we don't do so often, but we chant, most of the chants we do are in French or in English, like our four vows, the Heart Sutra, the identity of relative and absolute. We chant those in French or in English. But there's one chant that there's two actually in the ceremony, but one that we chant regularly, which is the Enmei Juko Kanengyo. And we don't translate it. There are translations that exist, but the chant itself is enough. And like if we haven't done this, but I hope someday we will, at Dana, we used to do a New Year session. So it would go over, you know, a few days before the 31st of December, and then it would end on January 1st. And the night, the 31st to the 1st, we would meditate for an hour or so, and then we would chant the Enmei Juko Kanengyo 108 times. And this was like over midnight. incredibly powerful practice to just chant and not know what we're chanting. Not have a translation so that we have some kind of intellectual understanding of what's being said. And even Tina Turner, when an interviewer, I saw this clip where an interviewer asked her what it meant or something, and she said, well, you know, there's a scientific, philosophical translation of it, but for her, that's not what it's about. And it's a really short chant, and it means, you know, there's different translations. The whole sect, this Buddhist sect that it's a part of, is based on the Lotus Sutra. And the founder of it in the 14th century or something, had a really deep experience when chanting the Lotus Sutra. So the whole practice is about that, the Lotus Sutra. But the little chant that is their key mantra, Nam Myoho Renge Kyo, when Tina Turner does it, it sounds so much better. I mean, if you want to hear it, look it up. It's like really intense, but it just means, and there's different translations, devotion to the mystic law of the Lotus Sutra, glory to the Dharma of the Lotus Sutra, or I take refuge in the lotus of the wonderful law. So it's something like Namu, Nam, is taking refuge. And we have that in our Jukai ceremony, in some of the Japanese chanting in it, there's Namu, which means to take refuge, or we translate it as that. In these other translations, it's translated as devotion or glory, but it really is this, I'm taking refuge in. And then the mystic law, the Dharma, or the wonderful law, and the Lotus Sutra. So it's basically, you know, I take refuge in teachings of the Lotus Sutra, something like that. But for Tina Turner, and she hints at that, that that's what it is, and that there's a lot of other chants. In one of the clips, you can see she goes on, and there's other chants too. It's not just this one mantra. It's probably some of the other chants are excerpts from the Lotus Sutra in Japanese. I don't know. The point that the thing that touches me about it is that before you know that she chants this mantra, you can see that her life dramatically changed in 1976 or whatever, and she left this abusive marriage and husband. And her life was transformed. Her work was transformed. She had, you know, a difficult maybe 10 years of kind of obscurity because she was no longer Ike and Tina Turner, kind of playing in small venues in Las Vegas and not really well known. But then it shifted and she became, you know, what they call the queen of rock and roll. I mean, but it's not that she became the queen of rock and roll. It's that she was fully, and she said it herself, fulfilled and happy in her life. Also little known about her is she had a second marriage to a guy who's completely unknown, you know, a Swiss guy. For 27 or 30 years or even more than that, something like that. And actually lived in Switzerland. That's where she died. Became a Swiss citizen. You know, she wasn't like in the jet set Hollywood culture. Very discreet and yet fulfilled. All this from just chanting these four syllables, these four words, you know, with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 syllables. And one of her last projects was this, she made a record called Beyond, I think, something like that, with two women who, I don't know who they are, a Christian and maybe another Buddhist, of like devotional songs or something. I haven't actually heard it, but I know that she did this, and that she said that the proceeds from that, that her part of it actually, would go to this children's hospital in Memphis, Tennessee, which is where she's not from Memphis, she's from Tennessee, but I think she and Ike Turner got their start in soul and blues scene in R&B scene in Memphis. So, you know, it transformed herself, her personal life, her professional life, and her spiritual life. And how she chose to live and be in the world. And this can be an inspiration for us as practitioners to not focus so much on what is the meaning of the chants or what is the meaning of, you know, we get caught up in koans. So like, what does this koan mean? When really what it's about is what is your experience of the koan? What is your experience of the chant? Like Bernie Glassman used to say, with the Heart Sutra, which starts with Avalokiteshvara, so the first syllable is A. He used to say, if you just fully chant the A, that's enough. If you are just completely that's it. You've done the whole thing. We have a koan about that too, you know, to see Aji clearly. Aji being the first letter of the alphabet wipes out the five grave sins, which means we are one, and therefore there is no transgressing of the precepts. We are completely one with what is. We do no harm. In other words, something like that. So, whatever you think of Tina Turner or don't think of Tina Turner, you know, maybe Tina Turner, you don't really even know who she is. Maybe just think of this as the Dharma teaching, the Tina Turner Dharma teaching, you know, of be one with whatever it is you do. And then you will find, you know, she found through her chanting what was precious and spiritual, transcendent, as they would say in their philosophy or something, and brought that into her daily life, which is really what our practice is about too. You know, experiencing the oneness, the wholeness of life, and manifesting that with every step. Even if, you know, so we did this ceremony during our retreat, and we don't do ceremonies very often. So for someone who does them very often and is an expert at ceremonies, they would look at it and say, oh, that was a mess. It wasn't a mess. It was perfect. You know, it was great. We had everyone in new positions. I was the Eno. Joa was officiating. Claudia was the Doan. She was probably the most experienced. I mean, I know how to be Eno. I've done a lot of Eno, but a long time ago. You know? Claudia does Doan a lot, rings the bells, you know, at Dana. Adrien was doing the Mukugyo for the first time. Lisa was Joa's assistant and hasn't done that very much. Joa hasn't done the officiating very much. So it was, we all kind of plunged into it together. And the people in the room, everyone, is not used to chanting so much. So two of the people have never chanted these things in French. They've only ever chanted it in Japanese. And yet it was very powerful and very pure. Just because we were fully doing, fully being it, you know, something like that. So yes, the Dharma of Tina Turner. There must be one of the titles of her songs that we could, you know, say is her dharma. You know? I can't think of one right now that would fit, but I'm sure there is one. You know, it's really about just chanting, just sitting, just eating, just walking, just talking, just listening. It's really about just this. And her example is the power of that, of being just this. So any... Too bad I didn't, you know, It's Only Love, is that one of her songs? Yeah, okay, yeah, that's a good one. She also has another one that's like, What's Love Got to Do with It? Which,
The answer to that one would be everything.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, so Freddie is saying, What's Love Got to Do with It? Everything, probably. So, it's too bad I didn't find one of those clips of her chanting. We could have shared it. I forgot about that. I didn't think of it, actually. So, anyone want to share, comment, question? Debbie?
Well, I got the news last night and did a little bit the same sort of thing. So I knew about this mantra thing from musicians that I gave English lessons to. There were two or three people that were trying it at the time. This was about 10, 15 years ago. So I knew she was into this. And somebody gave me the news last night. So I kind of shopped around on YouTube to see if I could find. There's a choice between you can listen for a minute and 50 seconds, so you could listen for 2 hours. I'm kind of in a hurry. And then I dedicated my sitting this morning to her because now it's funny because in the film that I saw, I think there's more than one bio on her. But several years ago, there was a bio, she didn't play her role, someone else did. And I don't think they mentioned that Buddhism was already in her life while she was with Ike. It seems to me that it wasn't mentioned, but I saw it a long time ago, so maybe I'm wrong. But certainly that movie already, I mean, she runs out of her hotel room, goes to a hotel next door and says, I have no money, but my name is Tina Turner. Can you please give me a room? I'm in trouble. She had a lot of guts. So I was already completely wrapped up in, and I'm not crazy about that kind of music, but wrapped up in how brave this woman was. I mean, I grew up with Ike and Tina Turner, and all of a sudden she's striking out on her own and saying publicly that he was an abusive man, and she was a gutsy woman. And she was on Oprah one time. Oprah said, you know, Tina Turner kept getting older and older. She always looked like she was 35. And Oprah said, are you ever going to, do you get hot flashes? Or do you have any wrinkles anywhere? Because she always, even at the end of her life, looked like a million bucks and sexy older and everything. Not yet, everything, as far as I'm concerned, everything going for her. So I've had her on my mind all day with two songs that play nonstop. I don't know how I'm going to go to sleep. Proud Mary and You're Simply the Best, that came up last year when I stayed in Porto a couple of days on my own. And along the beach, there are these, it's kind of a problem, or was a problem for me, that these sound systems, you're not sitting quietly with the waves. I mean, this music is just belting out. But each one has a different style of music. And I have just, Thiago had taken, sort of held my hand through Portugal. So I was down, I picked the one that where I liked the music, and it was Tina Turner. And they were playing You're Simply the Best. I don't know if I sent you just the title or the song. If it's going to be loud, let it be Tina Turner, because the other stuff was, it was techno, bleh. There was some other kind of music I didn't like. And then all of a sudden there was Tina Turner, but blasting. You couldn't even hear the ocean, but at least it was that song, yeah. So yeah, I had a Tina Turner day, and I find her, I mean, even if you take the Buddhism out, because that's inspiring to us, but even for people that are not so inclined, and she speaks very tenderly and very intelligently. So one interview I saw, say, rather than doing a big sort of rap on Buddhism, just saying it's very interesting to see spiritual feelings from another cultural point of view, saying that she'd been a Baptist, but that because this was from the East, it was a little bit of a different viewpoint to whoever was interviewing her. But as I say, even without the Buddhism, her life as a woman in the period that she was growing up, being Black and being from the country, she was my heroine forever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I the thing about if it was in her life before she left Ike, what I have heard in the past was that her experience when she first did this mantra thing was what gave her the courage to leave. I don't know if she was seriously doing it at that point, or if it was she had just tried it, and then that was what gave her the courage and the strength to go, to leave. Seo?
Good evening, everyone. I was thinking about the feeling that we suddenly have when we sit together and we come here and begin to the silence together, and this feeling in 2 or 3 minutes we are inside this place where we are many times together. It's like a place. There's no, it's not, it's nowhere. It's not in my apartment. It's nowhere. It's a feeling inside that we have in common. And yeah, and this, when we think about Tina Turner and how she find it, this, I think we speak about this place that she find it also, because it was her place. And I stopped for 20 minutes. I had no, I didn't know if I want to come to Dharma talk or not, because I am very, I worked sewing today, 4 hours sewing parcel. And my back, it's a little, it's, I like very much to do that, but I feel, Dharma talk, and I decide to come, and we learn so much that, to learn that Tina Turner was also Buddhist, it's very good, because, there, talk about that today morning, but I didn't talk about it. Yeah, and it was for you all, and it's also for Tina Turner. It's a sunflower that I bring from.
Thank you. Well, we're glad you came, Sue, because you told us, you shared with us what you just shared. So thank you for coming.
Can you, Roshi, can you say the, or write the name from this sutra? I didn't understand.
The chant? Yeah, I'll write it in the chat. No. Keeps correcting me. Oh no, that's right.
Oh.
There.
Ah. Okay. No, it was the name of the
It was. No, you didn't want the chant, no?
No, it was the name of the sutra.
Heart sutra.
Lotus. The Lotus sutra.
Lotus.
Lotus. Ah, okay. 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 But thank you.
There. Yeah.
Lotus. Lotus. Oh, flower. Flower. Lotus.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Hi everyone. And I was just thinking about the chants. When I went to visit a friend in Japan, we went to this temple. And we stayed overnight, and so did participated in the, and we sat and there were chants. I remember the chants, and it was going so fast. And even I must have chanted then maybe Kanungyo, because I recognized one or two chants, but I just couldn't follow. It was going so fast. It was crazy. Just, you couldn't even breathe. And that was pretty striking. So it's just, it doesn't sound at all like you're, I don't know, you're going into some enjoying the chant, or you know, going into some sort of melody. It's just like racing through it. It's like woo. and actually Claudia told me about the evening, the four vows that we chant during the retreat. Dale was singing the Eno, so he sang four vows, and we sing them rather slow. And she said, wow, that's amazing, because at Dana, and it reminded me of the Japanese stuff, they sing it really, really, really quickly. And so it's very different. Anyway, I don't know why I'm thinking about that, but I just, that's what came up. And I'm actually going to turn off my camera because I'm in the park. It was a nice evening, and I figured I'd stop here and do the listen and sit and listen, but it's kind of getting dark, and not dark, but cool. So I'll turn off my camera.
Thank you. Yeah, if you do look up Tina Turner, when she chants, it's really fast. And so you can't, I mean, if you didn't know those syllables, you wouldn't know that that's what she's saying. But she like does it over and over and over. And it is true at Dana, they go faster. And personally, I would prefer to go faster, but I'm not the Eno, and with our chats too. And there's some, you know, there's something powerful in the, not going fast just to go fast, but to you know, there's something really energetic that happens when it's faster. I don't know, Debbie, when you were at Dana recently, did you notice that at the retreat, that they were going fast or no?
Well, I didn't, I left before the evening because of my train situation. But I did this, the same thing, this New Year's Eve thing, several times in Belgium with Frank. And the first time I did it, I thought I was going to levitate. I mean, there were a lot of men in the Sangha at that time. So, rah, rah, rah. It was so strong. It's midnight. The whole thing is, the whole Zendo is in glass, and there's a firework going on in the next town, which you, if you get the right seat in the Zendo, you can partake in. So the firework is going on, and there's no light. I don't think that, there's like one candle and these very strong men's voices. And that was very fast. Oh, it knocked your head off. It was great. Yeah. But as far as Donna singing, no, I can't compare. I haven't heard enough.
It's almost like you enter in a trance or something if you're doing it really fast. Yeah.
Yeah, that's something like that. Yeah. Exactly. But not like trance, I'm no longer present, but yeah. Yeah, Laha?
I've read someplace that there is a difference chanting in Japanese, the original version, and in English, that's about a vibration of the words, or something like this.
Yeah, I believe it. You know, it's a different resonance. It's a different. Well, and of course, these chants have come from, you know, it's from different like the Heart Sutra was originally in Sanskrit and in Pali. So, yes, Seu.
And only to remember the in the Joas transmission the ceremony and Michel have body language very like I don't know, I think he was the leader from the ceremony, and it was so beautiful, so open, because he is like a big child, a whole child that and it was very beautiful.
Yeah.
And I see that Freddy it's dreaming, because he was the Jikido wants to announce the ceremony.
What? Say that again. What?
Freddy was the Jikido.
I am.
It was for him to announce the ceremony. I remember that also.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, Freddie was the Jikido, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Freddie?
Good night, everyone. But she's not the only one. Herbie Hancock is a Buddhist too, from Nichiren Daishonin. Herbie Hancock and the late Wayne Shorter, who passed away a few months ago. He was a hero of mine. Very wise man, very Buddhist. His wife was Japanese.
Yeah.
And his first wife, I think she died. And it was very, very profound, always. Even when he was giving advice to musicians, always give, he gave Buddhist advice to musicians. He said, if you take an instrument, is to give peace to people, is to be like a doctor. He was very, very wise. He was a Buddhist too.
And in the same, was he in the same?
Nichiren Daishonin.
Yeah. Interesting. Traditions should be in that, yeah.
Reciting the Lotus Sutra.
Right. Yeah, if we can, it helps, you know, we see these examples of famous people or realized musicians or artists or whatever. And actually they are, of course, you know, highly accomplished in their fields, but yet as in terms of being practitioners, they're no different than us. And can we can aspire to practice like they do, and bring it into our lives like they do. That's like the only reason it's worth talking about Tina Turner, you know, in a Dharma talk, is as an example of.
I didn't understand. They do.
Living, you know, bringing our practice into our life to realize our lives fully like those people do or did.
Ah, they do. They do. I
yeah. And that can be inspiring. Credit.
As a matter of fact, there is a famous quote from the Buddha himself, but it's in the movie, you know, when a string is not adjusted. It doesn't ring, and when it's too much, how can I say it?
Too tight.
Too tight, it breaks. And in a way, it's your Dharma talk of last week. And many times you say it in your own way that we should adjust our practice to our own, to the best of our abilities. That's the way I hear you.
Yeah, that teaching of the string. You know, the cord is really
too much mortification.
Yeah,
he ate, and then he realized that if he hadn't eaten, he wouldn't have been able to pursue his quest of the truth. So there is a middle way.
Absolutely. And that middle way is ours. Okay. I guess we'll stop there unless someone has something they would like to add or ask. Okay. Thank you.